that there are a lot of people, and when I say people, I'm talking about lost people, I'm talking about saved people, that they have created a false god in their own minds. That a lot of preaching that you hear today, I'm not saying all, but a lot that I personally have been hearing seems to be nothing more than kind of like motivational speaking, self-help talking. You know, you don't hear a lot about how God really is. I hear that He's a God of love, and He is. You know, what is it? 1 John 4:8 says God is love. Not that He has it. He is love, you know, and He is light and all of that. But how many knows God also, one of the very reasons why He had to bring Jesus is because He is a God of justice. And His justice will not be denied. That's the reason, one of the reasons why He gave Jesus, so He could put on Him everything that was going to be put on us, what we deserve, rightly deserved. And God didn't want that to happen, so He sent Jesus. And y'all know the story, and I ain't got time to go through all that. Therefore, we get mercy. Mercy is God doesn't give us what we deserve. And grace is God gives us what we don't deserve, the goodness of God. So a lot of people have ideas and thinking about God today that is not right. And actually, they have created Him as an idol, their own God, their God that they want Him to believe Him to be. But when you read the Scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament, when something is in the New Testament that came from the Old Testament, how many knows it? That's still for us today. You got a lot of people, they will not even read the Old Testament today because they have this doctrine and belief that because of Jesus, now we live under the age of grace, and we do, but how many, and we're not under the law, but how many knows the Old Testament, the whole thing's not law. Genesis is not law. And I need to know that. I need to know how we got into this whole thing to begin with was in Genesis, right? So there's a lot of things in the Old Testament that the New Testament refers to, just like in the book of Hebrews, you know, a lot of different places. He talks about how that the children of Israel, when He was leading them out and everything out of Egypt and bringing them into the promised land, how time and time again that they got stiff-necked and they rebelled against Him, and He's having mercy on them, you know, even to the point to where one time they angered God so much, He said, "That's it. I'm going to destroy every single one of y'all." Y'all remember that? This is the same God. He says, "I do not change." But Moses cried out for mercy, and he began to appeal to God's good side, and which all God's sides are good, you know, and tell Him, "Oh, Lord God," they'll say, "You brought us out here to kill us," and all this stuff. And the Bible says God repented. He changed His mind, and He didn't. But how many knows they reap the results of what they done? They would not turn. They kept on going, you know, until a whole bunch of them died out there in the wilderness. He's the same God today. So if you got your Bible, let's look at, I believe I want to go to 2 Timothy 3 first. Verse 1, and I'm going to be reading in the Amplified. Beth will put it on the screen. If you don't have an Amplified, you could just read it up there. He says, "But understand this, that in the last days will come, set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear." Now, He knows we're in those, but they're going to get worse. "For people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered, lovers of money." I see this even in Christian people, that it's not about what God wants to them. It's about what God can do for them and how God can bless them and how God can make their life better. And He wants to, but how many knows this is supposed to be a two-way relationship? I'm not supposed to love me more than I love God. He says, "Lovers of money," that's a big one, "and aroused by an inordinate greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant and contemptuous boasters, they will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. They will be without natural human affection, callous and inhuman, relentless, admitting to no truce or appeasement. They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate, and loose in morals." That is a big one. We see that all over the place today. "And conduct, uncontrolled and fierce, haters of good. They will be treacherous betrayers, rash and inflated with self-conceit. They will be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements more than and rather than lovers of God. For although they hold a form of piety, true religion, they go to church, some of them. I'm just reminded of this story back before we got saved. One of my friends, her husband, they had a pool table in there. They had this big, what do you call that? Storm shelter out in front of their trailer, big one. Had a pool table in it, a bathroom and all that. So we would go over there, you know, and we would hang out and shoot pool and listen to music and do different stuff. But this guy has nothing that you can see of God in him, characteristics whatsoever. And we are lost as we can be. But on Sunday, now he did drugs, he drank, he smoked, he cussed. But on Sunday, he would not drink, he would not smoke, he would not cuss, he would not do any of that on Sunday. And I remember thinking, I'm lost as lost can be. And I remember thinking, what is all that about? What do you do all that for? How many knows you still got people today that they do stuff like that? And they believe that is their service. How many knows that's not your service to God? It's not at all. And we've got people like that today. Look what he says here. He says, for although they hold a form of piety, true religion, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. He says, their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. He says, avoid all such people, turn away from them. What's that mean? Oh, you got people out here, they believe, you know, because they read their Bible at home and they say their blessing, you know, and they help people sometimes, load furniture, whatever. That's their thing. How many knows that's not it either? Now, say I'm thanking the Lord for my food or whatever I have and praying and talking to Him and different reading my Bible. All that stuff should be done, but how many knows that's having a form of godliness? Because the thing about it is, God wants, He said, I am crucified with Christ. He's not interested in making me better. Y'all not saying nothing. He's interested in me dying and Him living. Is that not what this is supposed to be about? Me dying, what I mean by that, not physically dying, but to my flesh, to my own wants, to my own desires. I'm supposed to be changing, letting Him rearrange me, letting Him convict me and me yielding to Him and giving me grace to help me to overcome. But the people He's talking about here, they have a form of godliness, but when you look at their lives, they're no different than anybody else. They're no different than the world. But to them, this is okay. This is God. How many knows this is not God? Y'all not saying nothing. He says, from such people, turn away. He says, for among them are those who worm their way into homes and captivate silly and weak-natured and spiritually dwarfed women, loaded down with the burden of their sins and easily swayed and led away by various evil desires and seductive impulses. These weak women will listen to anybody who will teach them. They are forever inquiring and getting information, but are never able to arrive at a recognition and knowledge of the truth. The Bible says in James, be doers of the word, not just hearers. These people, they're gaining head knowledge, but they have nothing in their heart and they're not doers of the word. Therefore, there's no change. He says, now just as Jannes and Jambres were hostile to and resisted Moses, so these men also are hostile to and oppose what? The truth. That God said last time we're supposed to love, right? He says, they have depraved and distorted minds and are reprobate and counterfeit and to be rejected as far as the faith is concerned. He says, but they will not go very far, for their rash folly will become obvious to everybody, as was that of those magicians mentioned. Now, over here in, let's go to 1 Timothy 6. I wasn't going to read that, but I think I will. I was going to just quote this one verse here, but I won't. Now, we talked about, we just read the verse here. He says, they'll be lovers of pleasures, lovers of money, and all that. Look here at 1 Timothy 6, verse 8. He says, because this is to connect what they was talking about before. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. He says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. He says, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I believe it's Amplified verse 10 says, for the love of money is a root of all evils. It is through this craving that some have been led astray and have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves through with many acute mental pains. So God is wanting to bless us. God is wanting to give us finances so that we have what we need in abundance so we can help and be a blessing to others. But then there's people out there, they crave it. Money stays on their mind day and night. They do whatever they need to do for it. Y'all not saying nothing. Well, I can't get into that yet. I'm trying to get ahead of myself here. I got to stay on track. Let's look at Jude chapter 1. Now, I know we read this last week, but we're going to read it again. Y'all can't miss it. There's only one chapter. For time's sake, we're going to start in verse 3, and I'm going to read this in the Amplified. It says, "Beloved, my whole concern..." So we know he's not talking to the world, right? The Christians are the beloved. He says, "But beloved, my whole concern was to write to you in regard to our common salvation. But I found it necessary and was impelled to write you and urgently appeal to and exhort you to contend for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. The faith which is that sum of Christian belief which was delivered verbally to the whole holy people of God. For certain men have crept in stealthily, gaining entrance secretly by a side door. Their doom was predicted long ago, ungodly, pious, profane persons who pervert the grace," it says, "the spiritual blessing and favor of our God into lawlessness and wantonness and immorality and disown and deny our sole master and Lord, Jesus Christ." See, I don't have to stand up and say I deny Jesus. All I have to do to deny him is when he deals with me with something, just say no. Just don't do it. What am I doing? I am denying him his ability. The Bible says he that begun a good work in us, he will perform it until the day of his return, right? Now, he can be doing all he can to perform that work within me, but I'm denying him if I won't yield and give way unto what he wants in my life. He goes on here, verse 5. He says, "Now, I want to remind you, though you were fully informed once for all, that though the Lord at one time delivered a people out of the land of Egypt, he subsequently destroyed those of them who did not believe." Where are we at here? We're in the New Testament, right? This is referring to Old Testament, right? He says the reason, at different places, he says the reasons why these things was written for us was for our examples. He goes on and he says, verse 6, "And angels who did not keep, care for, guard, and hold to their own first place of power, but abandoned their proper dwelling place, these he has reserved in custody in eternal chains," he says, "bonds under the thick gloom of utter darkness until the judgment and doom of the great day." So he didn't spare the angels either, right? He says, "The wicked are sentenced to suffer, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the adjacent towns, which likewise gave themselves over to impurity and indulged in unnatural vice and sensual perversity, are laid out in plain sight as an exhibit of perpetual punishment to warn of everlasting fire." He says, "Nevertheless, in like manner, these dreamers also corrupt the body, scorn and reject authority and government, and revile and labell and scoff at heavenly glories, the glorious ones. But when even the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, judicially argued, disputed about the body of Moses, he dared not presume to bring an abusive condemnation against him, but simply said, 'The Lord rebuke you.' But these men revile, scoff, and sneer at anything they do not happen to be acquainted with and do not understand. And whatever they do understand physically, that which they know by mere instinct, like irrational beasts, by these they corrupt themselves and are destroyed, perish. Woe to them! For they have run riotously in the way of Cain, and have abandoned themselves for the sake of gain it offers them, following the error of Balaam." Y'all remember Balaam, right? He's the one that Balaam asked him to come and curse the children of Israel and gonna give him all this stuff, whole bunch of clothes and money and different stuff like that. He says these are following that. "The error of Balaam, and have perished in rebellion like that of Korah." He's making reference to every one of these in the Old Testament, but we're over here in the New Testament, so that tells me, he said, remember what I done to them. Remember what happened to them. Do you realize the same thing can happen to us today? He goes on and he says, "These are hidden reefs, elements of danger in your love feast, where they boldly feast sumptuously, carousing together in your midst, without scruples providing for themselves alone. They are clouds without water, swept along by the winds, trees without fruit at late autumn gathering time. Twice, doubly dead, lifeless, and plucked up by the roots, wild waves of the sea flinging up the foam of their own shame and disgrace, wandering stars for whom the gloom of eternal darkness has been reserved forever. It was of these people, moreover, that Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied when he said, "Behold, the Lord comes with his myriads of holy ones, 10,000 of his saints, to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the pious unholy ones of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the severe abusive jarring things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are inveterate murmurers, grumblers who complain of their lot in life, going after their own desires controlled by their passions. Their talk is boastful and arrogant, and they claim to admire men's persons and pay people flattering compliments to gain advantage. But you," talking about us Christians, "must remember, beloved, the predictions which were made by the apostles, the special messengers of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. They told you beforehand, in the last days, in the end time, there will be scoffers who seek to gratify their own unholy desires, following after their own ungodly passions. It is these who are agitators, setting up distinctions and causing divisions, merely sensual creatures, carnal, worldly-minded people, devoid of the Holy Spirit and destitute of any higher spiritual life. But you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith, make progress, rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. Guard and keep yourselves in the love of God, expect and patiently wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, which will bring you unto eternal life." He says, "And refute so as to convict some who dispute with you, and on some have mercy who waver in doubt. Strive to save others, snatching them out of the fire. On others take pity, but with fear, loathing even the garment spotted by the flesh and polluted by their sensuality. Now to him who is able to keep you," that's comforting. "Now to him who is able to keep you without stumbling or slipping or falling, and to present you unblemished, blameless, and faultless before the presence of his glory in triumphant joy and exultation with unspeakable ecstatic delight, the one only God." Now look at Titus, chapter 2, I think it is. I know I'm going somewhere with this. Y'all just hang on. Verse 11 and 12 here in the Amplified. He says, now we just got through reading what they turned the grace of God into, right? Lasciviousness, which means lawlessness, which means casting off restraint. That's one of the reasons why you see people today, it seems like they have no morals whatsoever. It's like morals has just went out the window. He says, verse 11, "For the grace of God, his unmerited favor and blessing, has come forward, appeared for the deliverance from sin and the eternal salvation for all mankind. It has trained us." What's trained us? God's grace has trained us, he says, "to reject and renounce all ungodliness, irreligion, and worldly passionate desires, to live discreet, temperate, self-controlled, upright, devout, spiritually whole lives in this present world." That is far away from a lot of what you're hearing about grace today, and have been hearing for a long time, and it's only getting worse for a lot. But he tells us here that the grace of God has come to give us what we don't deserve, and that teaches us to deny this godliness stuff. What's that mean? I put on restraint. I restrain myself. I allow the Lord to lead me. And when he says, that's not it, I don't do it. You understand? And listen, I'm not perfect at it. We all are in a process, okay? So don't get condemned or anything like that. But what he's saying, as long as you're in the process, you're letting him deal with you. You know, when he tells you something, it may take you a little while to get things changed or turned around, like James says, right? The first thing you got to do is get your heart right and then start getting your words right. And he says, then the ship will turn around, right? That if we can bridle this tongue, we can bridle our whole bodies, he says. But he says there that the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness, not embrace ungodliness, that I can live any way I want to or do whatever I want to because I'm under the grace and the mercy of God. That's not real grace. That's lasciviousness. Now look at well, I've quoted this. Malachi 3:6, it says, I am the Lord and I change not. Therefore, you sons are not sons of Jacob are not consumed. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's other places that it says that. God is the same God today as he was the day he created this earth. He is the same. Now, our covenant with him, because he made the covenant with Jesus, is different. Thank you, God, I don't have to go out and sacrifice 50 bulls and rams and doves and all this other stuff. And plus, my sin is not just covered anymore. Our sin, when we get in him, is taken away. The Bible says he don't even remember it against us anymore. So if I bring it up, he don't even know what I'm talking about. So, I mean, we have a greater covenant and we have even greater promises than what they had. But how many knows, just as they had to live for him and by him, we must live for him and by him today. Because if not, we will get the same results that they got, because he does not change. His justice doesn't change. His mercy doesn't change. His love doesn't change. His righteousness does not change, ever. Now, look at Matthew 25. I'm going to have to hurry to get where I'm trying to go. Now, this is a parable, and we just finished for what, 8.5, 9 months of the parable of the kingdom, the sower sowing the word. Y'all remember all that? You ain't let it go, have you? Hey, and by the way, have I told y'all lately my brother's home? Sleeping in his own bed in my mama's house. I told my angels the other day, I said, reaping angels, I said, you go pluck my brother like a ripe tomato. I know it's going to take some big ones, but y'all go get him. Why? Because the harvest is here. So you go pluck him up. Y'all don't let that go. That's the kingdom. And he says here, this also is the kingdom. He says in verse 1, and I'm going to read this in the Amplified. He says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish. Why were they foolish? He tells us, they were thoughtless without forethought. Wisdom is about now and future. Y'all not saying nothing. You see people, they've worked all their lives and got absolutely nothing. Why? They was not wise and did not prepare for the future. Y'all remember the Bible talks about in Proverbs, God said, consider the ain't you sluggard, right? Who gathers and harvests and all that, that's wisdom. But these here, they were thoughtless. He says they were out forethought of. Some people, they just live in the right now. The right now. They never prepare anything about later. And 5 were wise. Now he tells us why they were wise. He said they were sensible, intelligent, and prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they did not take any extra oil with them. Let me tell you something, what's happening. And we've been seeing it for a while, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. We are in, I believe with all of my heart right now, what's called the great falling away from faith. You've got people today, they have been born again. They used to serve the Lord. They used to, I mean, their church attendance, you could just check it off. I mean, they never miss a service. They was involved with the church and the body of Christ. They toted the boxes, so to speak, and did the clothes. And I'm not just talking about here. They was all in for the Lord. And something happened that changed that to where now they're not. And let me tell you something. It's not just about your do's and your don'ts. If you're not living every day, hour of the day, by faith, there's some areas that you're not pleasing him. And without the word and coming and assembling with you guys and hearing the testimony, just living the life that I know that I'm supposed to live, in other words, I can't have that kind of faith. Number one, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But how many knows every word is not the Christos? The Bible says that a word is good in its season. Every word on Facebook ain't for me, and it's my job to discern what is and what ain't, right? But notice what he says here. He says they were foolish. He says, for when the foolish took their lamps, now they're virgins, they did not take any extra oil. Let me tell you something. If they are out of oil now, and it's going to get darker before it gets lighter, what do you think is going to happen to them? See, now is the time for all of us have forethought, Go get extra oil. Dig in deeper to God than you've ever been before. Read and study the Word. Yield to Him like you never have before. Why? Because you're going to need extra oil. This is the kingdom. Y'all not saying nothing. He goes on and he says, verse 5, while the bridegroom lingered and was slow in coming. I'm hoping this is making sense to y'all because I know where I'm trying to go. Where we're at right now, we have seen some dark times. I'm talking about the United States of America and the world. We've seen some dark times, just like the pandemic and the mask and the food shortages, all that stuff. But let me tell you, it's going to get worse. If y'all have not seen it, I believe it's October the 25th. Bam! COVID's supposed to hit again. I'm like, are you serious? You can actually give me a date on this? You can if you're the one doing it. Let me tell you something, people. I am not a conspiracy theorist, but I can read the Bible, and I don't watch regular news. I watch news, but I don't watch regular news. I have my own sources of news that I watch that is not corrupted. See, we don't like to think, and it's hard for us to think that people would be like this, that they would do these things, that they would put the... Listen, if they want America to know something or people to know something, that's what they do. They put it out on the news, whether it's true, whether it's not true, but whatever they want you and me to believe. And see, my mind has a hard time with that in my heart to think that God, people would be so ungodly. Or not even just ungodly, but just outright just... I can't even think of the words. But anyway, it's coming. And if they want you to think something, they put it out on the news. Say, listen to me, people. They have plans for what they're doing. The first one was only a trial run, and what they're doing is trying to bring about the end times. But God said, you're not going to make history without me. So it's going to get darker, but I'm here to tell you today that God always wins. But for all of us, we got to dig in and we got to get more oil. We got to get deeper in Him. Why? Because, see, for the Christian, all hard times does is brings out impurities off of us. That our faith and confidence and trust in Him can come forth as pure gold, that we've been tried in the fire. But for those that are not taking extra oil, that are not doing right now the things that they know to do that God is saying, there will be a lot of them that will be taken over. And it's not the will of God. But how many knows, when you don't yield to Him, there is nothing else but darkness. And he goes on here and he says, while the bridegroom lingered and was slow in coming, God said that He allows some things to humble us. And He says, and a little more. What's that mean? It means a little bit more. But don't be discouraged because it's going to get good. It says, how many knows the humble receive grace? Right? And he goes on and he says, they all began nodding their heads and fell asleep. How many knows there's a lot of Christians today, they are asleep. And you got this, what they call themselves, woke generation out here. I don't want to be woke, but I want to be awake. The Bible says, wake from our sleep, O sluggard. Talking about the church, talking about the body of Christ. And he goes on and he says here, verse 6, but at midnight there was a shout. That's in the darkness, right? It says, behold, the bridegroom, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins got up and put their own lamps in order. Everybody's got to walk to walk. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise replied, there will not be enough for us and for you. Go instead to the dealers and buy for yourselves. Didn't God say, come to me, buy me gold and silver tried in the fire? And clothing, so that we wouldn't be naked? He says, go instead to the dealers and buy for yourselves. But while they were going away to buy, they wasn't prepared. The bridegroom came, and those who were prepared went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came and said, Lord, Lord, open the door to us. But he replied, I solemnly declare to you, I do not know you. I am not acquainted with you. Excuse me. 13. He says, watch therefore. Give strict attention and be cautious and active, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man will come. For it is like a man who was about to take a journey, and he called his servants together and entrusted them with his property. And then he goes on telling another parable to liken the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Let's look at 2 Peter 2. Can y'all see these when we read them? When you look in our day and time, the things that are going on, the things that are going on in our government, the things that are going on in other countries, the things that's going on with Christians, things that are going on with lost. I mean, it's like you can just sit here, you can watch things and see all of this just absolutely unfolding. But here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "But also in those days there arose false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among yourselves, who will subtly and stealthily introduce heretical doctrines, destructive heresies, even denying and disowning the master who bought them." That's three times we've heard that in three different places. "Even denying and disowning the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction." Now, if he bought them, ain't they his? But then he goes on and says, "bringing upon themselves swift destruction." He says, "and many will follow their immoral ways and lasciviousness doings," which means casting off all restraint. We're supposed to be under, number one, the law of love, right? In the New Testament. He says, "because of them, the true way will be maligned and defamed. And in their covetousness, lust, greed, they will exploit you with false, cunning arguments. From of old, the sentence of condemnation for them has not been idle. Their destruction, eternal misery, has not been asleep. For God did not even spare angels that sinned, but cast them into hell, delivering them to be kept there in pits of gloom till the judgment and their doom. And he spared not the ancient world." Why is he saying all this in the New Testament? Because it's the same. He's the same God. He says, "and he spared not the ancient world, but preserved Noah." That's us, right? "But preserved Noah," he says, "a preacher of righteousness, with seven other persons, when he brought a flood upon the world of ungodly people. And he condemned to ruin and extinction the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, reducing them to ashes, and thus set them forth as an example." To who? Us. "To those who would be ungodly, and he rescued righteous Lot, greatly worn out and distressed by the wanton ways of the ungodly and lawless. For that just man living there among them tortured his righteous soul every day with what he saw and heard of their unlawful and wicked deeds. Now, if all these things are true," and we know they are, he says, "then be sure the Lord knows how to rescue the godly out of temptations and trials." Thank you, Jesus. But notice who he said. He says that the Lord knows how to rescue the godly out of temptation and trials, and how to keep the ungodly under chastisement until the day of judgment and doom, and particularly those who walk after the flesh and indulge in the lust of polluting passion and scorn and despise authority. Presumptuous and daring self-willed and self-loving creatures, they scoff at and revile dignitaries, glorious ones without trembling, whereas even angels, though superior in might and power, do not bring a defaming accusation. But I felt like the Lord wanted me to read all that, and then I felt like he wanted me to just tell you some things that he's been showing me and I've been hearing and different things like that. Do y'all remember? I know some of y'all have. Y'all ever heard of Kim Clement? He's a prophet. Okay. We have been following his ministry, gosh, I don't know, I've been saved about 30 years. I would say at the least 20 years, 20, 25 years. And do y'all remember in 2016 or 2015, whichever one it was, and I come here and I told you that Kim Clement had prophesied that Trump would be president for two terms. Y'all remember that? I ain't forgot it. See, when you don't believe something, you hope people forget what you said. That's why I keep telling y'all about my brother. I want y'all to remember, when you see it, you'll know God said it. But anyway, and it didn't happen. Not the way I thought it was going to. When I heard the prophecy that Trump would become president and he would be president for two terms, my natural thinking, that's something you have to be careful with when it comes to God. He can tell you something, don't run off with something else. I just thought he would be president 2016 and what, 2020, right straight in a row. But no, that's not how it happened. And a lot of God's people got disillusioned because God spoke not just that to Kim Clement, but to a lot of people that president would be, Trump would be president for a second term. Listen to me. I don't care what you think about Trump. I don't care if you like him, you don't like him. I don't care for some of his ways myself. I don't like his personality myself, but nobody asked me. But let me tell you something. When God is going to do something in the earth, what does he do? He has to use people. Now, I'm not saying God can't stir you up by his word and his spirit. That's not what I'm saying. Just like this. If God wants to give you $100, how's he going to get it? Because he don't got a printer press in heaven. He's going to speak to somebody, raise somebody up, bless somebody that can give it to you. That is the only thing that he's doing with Trump. It's not necessarily because Trump. I can't tell you why God chose him. All I know is God did. The rest of that, none of my business. But anyway, and then when he wasn't, now he knows, now he's coming back. He's going to run for president again. And I believe that he will get it this time. Now, the Lord, and I just let all that go, you know, hadn't thought much about it anymore, prayed about it or thought anything about it. But in August, the Lord told me, he said, go back. And it's like I had this burning desire on the inside to go back and listen to all the prophecies that Kim Clement had prophesied. And so I got on Facebook, you know, because they got that thing on there. And so I started going through them and downloading, saving them to my phone, listening to them, you know, and all of that stuff and everything. And it's like as I did, God began to show me things. Certain things began to stick out to me. And then as I would hear them, and then I would see something on the TV or on my phone or whatever, it'd be like, that's it. That's exactly what he was talking about. How do you know sometimes, unless God reveals to you, you can't see the revelation until it starts happening in front of you. But how many know some people, they got no discernment whatsoever, and they don't even see it when it happens in front of them. So anyway, I went back and I started listening to them again. Excuse me, and saved them to my phone. And some of the things that he said, I can see exactly what... Well, let me back up just a little bit. In 1996, Kim Clement prophesied the 9/11, which happened in what, 2001? The 9/11, September 11th, you know, the Twin Towers. He prophesied that in 1996. I watched it on TV, the show. They still have it. Well, he prophesied that in 1996. Well, when it come to pass, the FBI began to investigate him. Because how many knows you don't know a lot of information as far as natural people think without you was involved in some way. Well, the FBI investigated him, and when they got through with their investigation, they asked him, said, will you work with us? Because they found out this is not something natural, and he had nothing to do with that in the natural. And so he told them that he would. And he started working then with the FBI, that if God would give him something, you know, he would tell them. But whenever he would go to these events and things, that God would lead him and he would prophesy about some things. And I'm just going to tell you what he said about some things that are happening to us right now. That China and Russia and some others was going to try to black us out. Y'all know what that means, right? Our power grid. But what he said about it, and I don't know exactly what it means, but what he said about it is it will not be to their satisfaction. Now, I don't know if that means we'll have some blackouts or if that means God will do something and intervene and there will be none. Y'all understand what I'm telling you? Because like I said, don't start reading more into what God says. Try to just stay with what he says because you'll get in trouble if you don't. Then another thing that he said that I can see that he talked about. Listen, he's prophesying this stuff in 2012, 2014, and 2015. That's nowhere near 2023. So there's no way without God he could have saw these things that we're seeing unfold today because so many years. Now, in 2015, he had a brain bleed, and it caused him to have a stroke. He lost his speech, and I'm like, ain't that significant? He never did another prophecy after that. A little while later, he had a couple more strokes, and he passed away. He's gone to be with the Lord now. But one of the things that stuck out to me that he said about the time that we're living in right now, which he prophesied in 2012 and 2014, he said, NATO has become so corrupt that he's going to obliterate it. Now, y'all mark down what I'm telling you and you watch it, whether it happens or not. See, this stuff is important for us. Why? We need to know the timeline that we're on, because I'm telling you people, it's about to be wrapped up and we're out of here. I know people's been saying that for years. And the Bible says that whenever it happens, it'll be like the day of Noah. Eating, drinking, being merry. Everybody's happy. Nothing's happening. And bam! So, I mean, it's coming. But anyway, NATO has become so corrupt, God said he was going to obliterate it. Now, he said that, and let me tell you something, don't believe everything y'all hear on that TV and even through the phone. Because right now, this invasion of Ukraine that Russia did on Ukraine, they're trying to put this all on Putin, and it's not. What they've done is he's tried to warn them, and he tried to tell them, but NATO and the UN and all that, they keep making this thing bigger and keep creeping closer to Russia's borders, and he's done warned them, stop. Don't do it. Don't progress no further. And they didn't listen to him. So then here he goes, and he invades Ukraine. And stuff that I have been seeing and hearing and everything, that they're being courteous to them, you know. Right now, a lot of them are surrendering, you know, because, see, now, when you watch regular TV, they're going to tell you, oh, Ukraine's winning. Why? We're sending them billions of dollars. Oh, they're winning. We got to send them 7 more million, you know, so they can overcome. No, they're not. When you go and you check out real news and real what's happening over there, no, they're not. They are just about wiped out. And Russia is allowing their guys to surrender and telling them, let us check you for weapons and all that. Then we'll get you medical care and food. And then you've got Europe over there. They're already, they got people over there starving to death because of what's happening over here in Ukraine and all this whole mess that's going on. But anyway, that's why he attacked them. But that's not what our news is telling us. They're making him out to be the bad guy when in reality it's not. They did. He tried to warn them. They didn't. Well, one of the things that Kim said, he said that God said he's going to obliterate NATO because they are corrupt. Ukraine and all that. Obliterate. Wipe them out. To me, that's what that means. If you obliterate something. Well, anyway, they're trying to make it out look like it's Putin that he's, you know, doing all this. No, it's not. It's us. It's Britain. It's NATO, and he's tired of it. So therefore, he's gone in there and says, you know, okay, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to tell you what Kim said. He said that they are going to cause Putin to become like a mad dog off the chain. I don't know if y'all have heard it yet or not, but we on the brink, if we have not already entered into World War III, because just a couple of days ago, NATO bombed Russia. What was that called? Crimea, or something like that's how you say it. Far as I know, he hasn't done anything back yet. But how many knows? NATO is us, Britain, other people, and now they've went and bombed Russia, and we are. Listen, if I am fighting my enemy and you are helping them, D, you giving them money, you giving them tanks, you giving them. Guess what? You become my enemy too, because you are the friend of my enemies and trying to help my enemy overcome me. How many knows? That's not going to set well with me. So let me tell you this, because I'm going to have to wrap this up. I got like 2 minutes left, and I wanted to get into more, but I can't. And God said, I mean, really, if we was here, this is not a prediction. This is my thinking. Y'all got that right. It will surprise me if we are here 6 more years. And that's a good thing. But how many knows that means we got a lot of work to do in a short time to do it. And God's ready to do it, and he's going to help us. Now, God said in these dark times that are coming, you can look, there's also going to be light. He said there he's going to bring a revival and the power of the Holy Ghost like this world has never seen. But it's going to be on a lot of the ones that the religious would not pick. It's going to be on the green hair. All y'all ain't saying nothing. It's going to be on the green hair. It's going to be on the earrings. It's going to be on the ones tatted up. It's going to be... Let me tell you something. We backslid. We're doing meth one night. Scotty's in the pulpit preaching the next night. Is that so or not? Why? He repented. And when he repented, God didn't hold that against him. And bam, he is right back on track. Do you realize we have... Probably my brother and under generation has been so sought out after the devil. They have had so much come against them. And the devil has took a lot of them so far down. But God says what? He's not going to let him win. He's going to bring revival to all nations. And there's going to be light arise where there has been darkness. But we can't be religious, because God, whenever they come to Jesus, what did they say about him? They didn't see him as the Messiah. One of them said, what good can come out of Galilee? Because they didn't think he come from where the scripture said he was supposed to and all that. So what happened? He fooled them. And if we ain't careful and we're religious, we'll be fooled. But we're not going to, I've got to stop because actually we're a little bit past time. And I know maybe that's a lot, and I hope it made sense. It makes sense to me because I got all this stuff in here, but I know y'all just getting bits and pieces or whatever. Does anybody have any comments or questions or anything?